being here. I'm going to have lovely assistants go ahead and pass the baskets or bulletins, pens, Bibles, anything that you may need. Take some notes. I do have some fill in the blanks, as it is tradition, Serenity Church. Take home some notes so you can remember throughout the week. So last time that I was here, I preached on gratitude, and a lot of people I know took it to heart and used a specific scripture to base that sermon on. While doing my reading, my loving wife likes to point out that I like to try to put too much into one sermon, and she said, you know, that would be a great topic to just completely do at another time, so I'm going to take the first half of that scripture that I started with last month and do something completely different. As you can probably notice on the screen behind me, deceit. It's one of the great things about having a team of preachers and or people who just to give the message, because we all have a different perspective. We can use one sermon, one verse, and have completely different perspectives on that. And that's what's awesome and what I love about this. But I want to start by going back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. You can find it in your Bible. Unfortunately, I did not put page numbers because my book is different than your book, but it's in the back. There's an index in there somewhere. You can find the page number. 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars, those or whose consciences have been steered as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods. So that's where I'm going to be basing everything off of, but I want to just recap a little bit, the second half of 3, which God created all these things to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. Those who believe and know the truth. They are the ones that should be the most grateful because they know where everything came from, right? And I left you with one of the fill-in-the-blanks, which said, what if you woke up today with only the things you thank God for yesterday? And so we had that emphasis of giving more gratitude to the things that we do have. How minuscule it may seem, everything matters, because everything came from God. Verse 4 reads, for everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. They were so busy, as I was using the parable, this left my mind. Oh, the 10 lepers. There you go. It's back. The 10 lepers. As Jesus healed 10 lepers, and they all left, but one of them stopped, turned around, went back to give him thanks. And Jesus like, wasn't there more of you? And he's like, you know what? I'm here because I know how great it is to be healed. So the others were so busy enjoying the goodness that they forgot that God has been so good to them, reaping the benefits, right? And we continue through verse 5 real quick. Because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. When we use that word consecrated, it means we give thanks in preparation. We pray for the things that we have. As I used the story of the feeding the 5,000, where Jesus fed 5,000 men, plus women and children, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Because Jesus knew giving God thanks that God would provide an abundance for many. So we have to remember to give a constant gratitude for the things that we have, even how little our bank account may be, God will provide. So, check the backpack. That was another funny story. So the high tower's got to go check the mailbox. I got to check the backpack, check the Bible, make sure that that check was ever deposited. So back to verse 1 through 3, deceit. Matthew, what are we talking about deceit? So I want to go ahead and give you a couple of little definitions. As you know, I tend to use Google at a time or two as well. Deceit, the action or practice of deceiving someone by concealing or misrepresenting the truth. Okay. But there's also different forms of deceit, different variations, tenses and stuff. So deceitfulness, having a tendency or disposition to deceive or give false impressions, lie, right? It's all about lying, misrepresenting the truth, conniving, manipulating. Them Al-Anonics, you know, like to just get you to do their will. No, none of us do. We have no experience, anybody in this room, of maybe telling a white lie to kind of get a lighter, you know, consequence, or misrepresenting the truth to not feel so bad about what we have done. So deceit. Well, Matthew, there's, believe it or not, there was a lot of deceit throughout the Bible. There's many scriptures based on it, but I want to go ahead and start with a couple to really base this sermon on, of kind of the three main things that can be very deceitful. So if you can, please turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Spirit fullness in Christ. So then, just as you received, this is verse 6, I'm sorry, Colossians 2, verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. There's that gratitude again. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of the world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Not of the flesh part, but as of God intervened and removed the sinful flesh of ourselves, humanity, off, because we are born in him. Having been buried in him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead to in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of your legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. As it says, Jesus saved you from yourself because he is all authority, he is all power, he has the ability to do so. Nobody else. Nobody else can do that. So whatever, as he was, Paul was writing this letter, he said to these people, it's not of the priests or the Pharisees or those who dictate how you are saved, it is through Christ is how you are saved. Because he is all authority. Anything beneath him doesn't have the authority to do what he does. So do not be deceived by them. As it read in 1 Timothy, the Pharisees, the hypocrites, telling you what you can and cannot do because of their intentions of making up laws or rules. Don't eat this, don't eat that. If you choose not to do it, that is your choice. But it's not going to condemn you. All right? Not going to condemn you. I want to continue reading down in Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and in the image of its creator, therefore, you know those therefores, they're always important. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them and all together in perfect unity. All right, that's it. I'm good. No joking. There's more to come. But that's what we've had to learn through our steps and through our recovery, putting away those selfishness and self-centeredness and all those things that wedged our relationship with Christ. And we had to relearn who Christ was, who our higher power was, and we had to relearn all getting rid of all those negative character defects and replacing them with that compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. As it says in the 12th step, at the very end, your first fill in the blank, these are the principles that we must practice in all of our affairs. Practice these principles in all of our affairs. Jesus laid it out really simple as Paul was writing to the Colossians. That's what Jesus taught. Love one another because we all are one in unity, perfect in him. So the first thing that can be very deceiving is the people, the authorities, as I explained. In Romans 16, it says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teachings you have learned. Keep away from them. Such people are not serving our Lord, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. As we have to be very cautious and careful who we hang around, who is that influence in your life? Who do you admire? Surround yourself with those like-minded people that are striving to be better. That helps you be better. Do not, as your next fill in the blank, they did not serve the Lord, but their own appetites. They wanted things for themselves. They wanted to manipulate and to get the reward of righteousness, which is not given through what you do. It's given by God himself. All right? Of course, nobody is perfect. And we are all sick, some sicker than others, in some form or fashion. But it is through Christ that we find patience and tolerance and love for our fellow brothers and sisters in this world, and to do our best through obedience, duty, not an obligation, but the teachings that we have learned through our program and through this truth in this book. To steer our fellow brothers and sisters in this world and to do our best for them and not to shy away from doing the right thing because it is easier. There's another reference I want you to take home, and I have it in the bulletin there, 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 15. Go home at your leisure, please read it. Just another scripture that it's really important, and it really ties in all of this again. So I want to go ahead and lead into the second thing. The other thing that can very be easy deceivingly to you, and that is Satan himself, right? Satan can be very deceiving. And of course, I'm going to go back old school, very beginning, Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He made it to the woman, that is Eve, of course. Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And of course, the woman saw the fruit, saw the tree, and was like, well, that sounds kind of interesting. She actually took the fruit and partaked. And as you see, men, it's all the women's fault. No, I'm saying. Satan wants you to believe that God is holding out on you by deceiving you into believing something that is against God's will. Because it's, you can eat it. It's fruit. It's a tree. You can eat from anything. But just because God says don't eat that because you will die, no, you're not going to die. But he deceived her into giving her that enticingness. I'm going to know something. I'm going to be like God. Anybody's ego got that big? Thanks a lot. I'm glad you made it. I was really kind of anticipating my wife not being able to make it so I can crack those couple of jokes. But anyways, that fruit is not bad for you. By eating it, it will bring you knowledge and understanding. How many lies are like, if you just take it, just try it. It's not bad. Turns out, I mean, of course, one thing leads to another, and then you end up in jail. One is not enough, and 1,000 is never enough. It will make you like God. See, it's the enticingness that how God or how Satan can use those words into making you believe something that is not true. He has that power. Doesn't mean that just because woman may have more power over men doesn't mean that they're to blame for all the mistakes in the world, all right? We have just as much responsibility, men, of our own choices. So we all know they realized, Adam and Eve, they realized after eating the fruit that they were naked, right? They had to go find clothes and fig leaves and tie them all together. They frantically had to clothe themselves and hid and shame for their actions. And if God, of course, came looking for them, reluctantly, Adam did blame Eve for giving him the fruit as she turned and blamed the serpent. No, he made me do it. But the choice was the choice that they made. Just as we have been given so many choices of free will to make decisions for ourselves, what we think may be our greater good. But is it God's will for us, not to be deceived. So, of course, God cursed them all, even Satan. So please be aware of the difference between truth and lie. If you don't know That's why we have sponsors, we have wise counsel, that's why we have literature, that we need to study and to be more aware of what is truth and what is lie. That's why we should be praying every day for knowledge of what's the next right thing. As we've been saying the prayer the whole entire year, right? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Please show me what is next. Please prepare me for what is next. Please bless my neighbor as you've blessed me. And the third thing, you can deceive yourself. You can easily deceive yourself. Our minds can be very wandering. We can lie to ourselves. We can justify our actions for ourselves. We can be our own worst enemy. I know I am. In James chapter 1, verse 16, it reads, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created." I want to break this down a little bit and use this as an analogy. As it says, the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So I was going to use this analogy of, there are certain parts of this world, like in Alaska, northern Russia, that there are months and months of 100% daylight. And eventually the world turns, and there's months and months of complete darkness. All right? So when we are, if you happen to live there, which heaven forbid, I never would, but when it's completely darkness, our minds can play tricks on us. Just because it's dark doesn't mean that the sun's gone, that it ceased to exist, that it's no longer there. It's still there. So when we are surrounded by circumstances and all we have around us is this glooming darkness and no glimpse of any light whatsoever, doesn't mean that God isn't there. Doesn't mean that the truth isn't there. Doesn't mean that there's light soon to come. So, your last fill in the blank. If there is a shadow in your life, that means you have been turning away from God. We have to be consciously seeking light in the darkness. Consciously seeking light in the darkness. I want to go ahead and have the band come back up, because I'm going to be wrapping this up here in just a minute. So, just because you cannot see something doesn't mean it isn't there. Don't turn your back towards God because you feel surrounded by the shadows of your life. Know that there is always light around every corner. There are people to help you find the light when you are in the darkness, in that depression, in that misery and turmoil of the circumstances, the lies that have been told to you. There's truth through those lies. As Hope said, you know, we've heard it many times in our meetings, if you're scared about taking that next step forward because you know what's coming, just do it scared. Put one foot in front of the other. Because when you get through whatever it is that you're struggling with, whatever you're going through, that light is down the road. That light will be shine upon you. So I leave you with this. Please know the truth. Know who you are. Don't deceive yourself. If you need help, please ask. If you feel encouraged and you don't know what to do, please ask somebody. We're here for each and every single one of us. We're all here for you when you need us the most. Please call us. Please reach out to somebody. And may God bless you and keep you until then. Amen.